Christian. Let the whole church say amen.
Amen.
For God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. I want to thank Brother Green for not only the prayer this morning, but for last week as well.
Amen.
I want to thank all of those of you who are present in the audience this morning. God is good again. And all the time, God is good. You know, we never should get wearied of that saying. Because you didn't get you up this morning. It was God who got you up. I don't care how loud the radio may have popped on. It was still God. Because God made the radio that popped on in your head to give you call to get up. So we got that call, and we're so grateful and thankful that God delivered us once again. And I know many started on the same day that some of us did, that many of us did, but they're not with us this day. And you know, it doesn't take but the wink or the blink of an eye to change our lives. You be up and about today, and tomorrow you can be crashed. And you can wind up in the hospital in your sick bed or even on your deathbed. So let us be ever thankful that God is good once again. This morning, before we go any further, let us take a moment out to go to God in prayer. Lord, you have led us from the nighttime to the morning time of this new day. You have given us a day unlike we've ever seen and that unlike anyone we shall ever see again. We thank you, Father, for all you do for us. We thank you for every blessing that you have provided for us. The things that we take for granted, Lord, we know that they are delivered by you. The breath that we take in and the air that we exhale, we take it for granted, but it's all because you did it, Lord. You do it for us. We're so thankful to see each and every member here this morning, every visitor, everyone that's represented in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful. Father, we are blessed to be here. And without your blessings, we would not be here. Father, I thank you for the leaders of this congregation. I thank you for their families. I thank you for the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. I thank you for their families as well. Father, it is so good to be here this morning. We started out on this journey. We didn't know how long it would last, but thank God it's still going on for most of us. For many and for some of us, the journey has already ended. But we're speaking to those who are here today, Lord. We know that their ending has not yet been called. But we're so thankful for being here just one more day to serve thee in spirit and truth. Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, whom you sent down into this world to hang, bleed, and die for us, not for himself. We're so thankful, Lord. Father, we're thankful and we're praying for the sick and the shut in. We're praying for those who might be standing a guilty distance from the cross. We invite them to come if they will, that they may receive. Father, thank you for the parents of our children today as they need help in bringing them up. Father, give them the right spirit of mind to help their children to be good citizens and to grow up to be just what they need to be, O Lord. Thank you, Father, and everything for everything. Father, we pray for those behind prison bars. We just pray that if it be your will, you would grant unto them safety and security. We pray for those who still might be on the way to the church this morning. We just pray that you give them safe passage. Father, we pray and thank you for Jesus who went to yonder's cross that we might have a right to the tree of life. We thank you for our first responders, O Lord, those who respond in dangerous times when we call upon them. We thank you for our teachers, our policemen, our truck drivers. We thank you for everybody, O Lord. We just pray that you continue to give them your blessings as you see fit. Thank you, Father, for this church that we stand in or that we're sitting in right now. We're just praying, O Lord, that you continue to bless it as well as those who lead us in this church. Thank you once again, Father, for everything. And it's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray for the sick and the shut-in. We pray for all, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Let the church say amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from the 10th verse of Isaiah chapter 41. It reads, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." This morning we want to speak for a few minutes on fear not, for God is with us. This verse assures Israel and lets them that they may know that they should not fear, for God is with them. It presents a message for us as well, that as long as we are with God, we have nothing to fear. Today there are many things that may cause us to become fearful. There are things that we should fear. For example, I would not want to ride in a car going 100 miles an hour with bald tires. I fear that. I fear camping outdoors in the woods because I'm fearful of snakes. And anywhere that they are, both the two-legged and the four-legged, and the ones that crawl on their belly. There are some abnormal fears, such as people who fear Fridays when Friday falls on the 13th. There are people who fear bad things they read in their horoscopes. They don't understand that that's just a printed message, and it can have nothing to do with the outcome of your life. There are two things we all should fear. Sin. And you may say, why? Well, because the Bible warns us that in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. For we all should be fearful of disobeying God. Many have gotten in trouble for disobeying God. Adam and Eve lost what could have been their forever home through disobedience. Moses was not allowed to get to the new land because of his disobedience. When one obeys God, there's nothing else to be afraid of. Why? Because we have the presence of God. He is there to help us. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice, if you will, the text, what it says again. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Look at God's promise to his people back then, if you will. He says, number one, underline, "I am with thee." Number two, "I am thy God." Number three, "I will give you strength." Number four, "I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with his righteousness." What great promises God has made, and we all should know he will keep them. To those people of that day as well as the people of today, his presence is always there for us. He will never lead us wrong. God was with Joseph as he was sold into slavery in Egypt in the book of Genesis. He was with Daniel in the lion's den with some meat-eating cats in Daniel. He was with the three Hebrew boys who were thrown into a fiery furnace in Daniel. He was with Paul through the storm, and he will be with us if we obey him. No matter how much trouble we encounter, he will still be our God, for he is the great I am. When the fires get too hot, when the storms become too stormy, and when you have too much going on and you can't handle it, call on the God who promised to be with you. Your God who promised that he would always be with us. Don't let troubles get you down, for there is nothing impossible for God to fix. God can fix it all. Amen. Learn to call upon him morning, noon, or night. He is always on duty, always willing, always ready to be a help to us. Prayer is the greatest asset a Christian can have, for it is the only way we can reach God. You can't pick up your cell phone and dial up God. You can't send an email to God or a text message to God, for he is not available. He made those things, but he is not available for you to use to call him. You have to go to God on the prayer, in prayer. We also have the power of God. There's no problem too hard for God to solve, for there is nothing, and let me underscore that, there's nothing he can't do. Luke 1:37 tells us, for God, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible. We like to say from time to time, it's just not possible. I find that impossible for me to do. When you have a deadline on your job, you sometimes say to yourself, how can I get this done in the time given unto me? Well, you can go to God in prayer and ask him to help you fix whatever it is that needs fixing. For God is able. You don't take him lightly. You don't take God even on your job. You have to. I know when I used to be working, I did not realize all the time how good God was. But I learned the meaning of God and what he is through prayer and through studying. I found out that God will be there when you need him. So whatever it is that you need fixing, you don't need to fear anything, for God is able to fix whatever it is that you need fixing. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21. Abraham took God's promise to him that at age 100, he and Sarah would have a child. Today, many would doubt that it could happen. But Abraham was strong in faith, and giving the glory to God, for he knew and was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. God can do it, church. And sometimes I think we kind of get lax in our thinking about what God can do. Well, put it another way, think about what God can't do. And the only thing God can't do, I believe, is lie. Amen. Everything else God can do. There's no person too hard that God cannot save and cause change in that person. Just look at what he did for Saul, who had been an enemy to God's people. But in Acts chapter 9, while he was on his way to cause more anguish upon believers, God put an end to Saul's hard line. In verse 17 of Acts chapter 9, the Lord sent a man called Ananias to Saul, that he be filled with the Holy Spirit, for he had been blinded. But as soon as he received his sight, he, number one, was baptized. And what did he do after that? Well, in verse 20, he reached out. He preached Christ, that he is the Son of God. That's the power of God at work, church. Now I ask you, what's wrong that we can't see the power working in us? God is still in the fixing business. He is still in the people fixing business as well. There are no prayers that God cannot answer. The Bible tells us we are to pray one for another. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you prayed for your brother and your sister? The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now ask somebody to pray for you when you need help. Ask the church to pray for you. For I believe somebody in the church can get their prayers handled or heard by God. It may be the least one we expect, but I believe someone can. Whatever one may be standing in the need of, let God know about it. Of course, he already knows, but he wants to hear it from us. And there should never be any shame in asking others to pray for us. You know, some folk get shame when you ask them, when you invite them to come before the church. They ask them to come before the church, and you ask them what the problem is, and they freeze up sometimes. But there's nothing wrong with coming before the church and asking the church to pray for you. We have God's promises. God has left us with many promises, and He has or will deliver on all of them. There are several thousand promises made in the Word of God, and all of them shall be or already have been fulfilled. In our text of Psalms, Isaiah 41 and 10, just look at what God promised to them. He promised all those things to them. These were not empty words, for God knew what he was going to do, so he told the Israelites. If we don't have God on our side, we are just as nobody's looking for somebody who can fix everybody. Notice, if you will, how wonderful and protective God, the Word of God, is. And I'll tell you, I forgot my watch this morning, but I'm going to try not to go past my time. The Word of God is far for all of us if we just try to listen. The Word of God is good for all of us. The Word of God is good to all of us. When you look at the 23rd Psalm, remember what the Psalms read? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a relationship. "I shall not want." That's supply. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." That's rest. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. "He restoreth my soul." That's healing. "He leadeth me in the path of righteousness." That's guidance. "For his name's sake." That's purpose. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's testing. "I will fear no evil." That's protection. "For thou art with me." That's faithfulness. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's discipline. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." That's hope, church. "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's consecration. "My cup runneth over." That's abundance. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's blessings. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." That's security. Forever. That's eternity in heaven. God is good, church. All you have to do is go to him in prayer. And he will understand what your problem is before you ask it, because he already knows. Isn't God wonderful, church? Isn't he great? How could, some may ask from time to time, how could God have taken just the dirt of the earth and made a man with it? Well, I don't know the secret formula, but God did it. I don't know how he did it, but he did it, because he is able and he's willing and he's ready to fix whatever he needs to fix. How did he put the stars up in the sky? And though they talk about shooting stars, but I've never seen a star fall out of its place. Have you? I've never seen the world stop spinning around the way it spins. Old scientists try to explain it to you, and they tell you the theory of how the sun is spinning on its axis and all of that. Right. Well, all I know is the sun is a daily fixture, and I need the sun, and you need the sun, and we all need the sunshine, and I'm so glad when it comes. I don't care how it got there, but I know how it got there, and I'm so appreciative that it is there. Now, when you think about it, you look at all the things that God has done for you. Just think about it for a minute. I already told you you didn't wake yourself up this morning. But can you imagine this? That at the precise time when God decided it was time for you to come out of your sleep, He woke you up. Then He gave you the ability to swing your legs out of the bed and stand up on your own 2 feet and get yourself together. That's precision, church. That's God at work. Now, man can do so many things for us when you go to the doctor. Oh, he can fix some things. And we think doctors are so great because they can do some things, but it's because God is with them. God taught them, and God has given unto them the abilities to help us. But you know, there comes a time when the doctors are not going to be able to help us. The doctors won't be able to override God's command and God's promises that once appointed a man to die, and after death, the judgment. Man can't fix that. And man can't restore you to the will of God. You have to restore yourself with the help of God. So when I think about it, when I look at the scripture again, the Bible says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Look at all those things God has promised to do for us. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, when you think about that, what more could you ask for, church? What more could you want out of your life except God's help? Now, when I look at that whole matter, I consider the world that God has made. I consider how good God has been to us. You know, we didn't have to be in this church building this morning. We didn't have to be in the comforts of man's creature comforts. We got air conditioning to cool us in the summertime. We got heat to warm us in the wintertime. We got everything that we could want. And I may as well go ahead and say it while I'm here. Some of us still don't appreciate God. Some of us want to give. Oh yeah, I'm gonna touch there. Some of us want to give like we want to give and not as God has prospered us to give. And when you think about it, what better place to give to than the church? We got shepherds watching over the church's funds. We got officers in charge of the monies, but still some don't want to give. Some think that if I give, I might be giving to somebody else. Well, that's what you're supposed to do, give to others to help others. And when you don't give, you're not doing your duty. So all I'm saying is, if God told us to fear not, I am with you, be not dismayed, but for I am your God, I will strengthen you, yes, I'll help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What better promises than that do you have? I told you I forgot my watch, so I might be a little early, but that's okay. When I said all that I need to say, I know there's much more to say, but when I said all I need to say, it's time for me to come down. See, because I know that if I keep on talking, I'm going to put somebody to sleep. And you can blame it on your medication if you want to, but I'll put somebody to sleep, so I like to finish up, stand up, get up, stand up, and sit down. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying I can give you enough to feed you a little bit, and you have to feed the rest to yourself. How do you do that? Well, you study the Word of God. You study to show thyself approved. And some of us, sad to say, if we needed to be approved, we would lose. We wouldn't be approved because we don't study enough. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Even I fall short in studying sometimes. I'm sure the elders probably fall a little short sometimes. But nevertheless, God's will shall be done. So you ask yourself the question, when is enough? When is enough too much? And you ask yourself, you go to God in prayer and you ask God to show you what's enough. You know, I would not be caught dead without the Word of God with me. Because I know one day I am going to be dead. And so are you, so I'm not anything better than you. I'm just simply saying, we're all going to find ourselves dead one day. And you want the right notes with you. So you want to take the Word of God with you and put it up here. You put it up here and then nobody will know it but you that you've got it. It can't be taken from you. Not by man anyway. For you got it. That's why when some people get an education, they'll tell you, you can get everything I got, but you can't get my mind. You can't get what I got in my mind or in my head. So all I'm saying to you this morning, church, is we need to keep studying, Brother Jackson. We need to keep on. For God is the great I am. And the great I am needs constant study and prayer and obedience. Amen. Now, when you fall out of dismay with God, and you know there are some folk who say, I'm mad at God. That's a bad thing to say. To me it is anyway. For the God that made you, how can you get mad at him? He put you here. He gave you everything that you've got. But you still say, I'm mad at him. You're mad at him because he didn't give you something that you desired, probably. But I can tell you one thing. He'll give you what you need. God will supply all of our needs. Now, sometime you wake up in the morning and you don't feel very good, Brother Jackson. But you know that if you just hang on in there, you ask God to make you feel better, he might just do that. He has the power and the capabilities to help you to feel better. Now, I get up a lot of mornings these days, don't feel quite as well as I like to feel. But you know, I'm just so thankful that I'm feeling at all. I don't always want to feel like I feel, but I'm so glad that I'm feeling at all. I don't always want to be in the position that I might find myself in, but I know that if I've been on God's side, it's his will that I'm here where I'm at, feeling what I am feeling. I used to be able to do certain things with joy and happiness. Now I'm just happy if I can just do those things again. And I'm thinking about things that are righteous things. Brother Jackson, I'm thinking about things that are good things, things that are godly things. I know that everything is going to slow down in time. The eyes begin to grow dim. The knees begin to shake and not support you like you want them to support you. The teeth, the grinders, as the Bible call them, don't seem to cut like it used to cut. But that's all things have a space and time. The things that we do and say in our early lives, when you get older, you look back on those things and you say, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I act like that? I find myself looking back on my life quite frequently and I'm wondering, why did I say something, or why did I do something, or why did I make that decision instead of another decision? But I guess it's all a part of growing up. It's all a part of getting to maturity. And when I used to be a child, the Bible says I spake as a child. But you know something? When you grow up, you're not supposed to think like that. You're supposed to speak better of yourself. You're supposed to speak in terms of what thus saith the Lord. You're supposed to think in terms of what thus saith the Lord. Because when that day comes, and as I often say, I'm going to be laid out somewhere here, and somebody's going to have a few words to say over me, or in a funeral home, and somebody's going to have a few words to say over me. Please, I'm asking you all now, if you still know me at that time, don't let anybody make any remarks over me. Because people tend to lie when they do remarks. And I don't want anybody lying over me. Just tell them, whatever you got to say, you should have told him. And if you didn't tell him, well, he certainly won't be able to hear you now. So just keep your thoughts to yourself. I've already instructed my children that I don't want any remarks in my funeral. I don't want any remarks on the obituary. Just let them know that you knew me, but that's good enough. You don't have to tell them how well you knew me, because you don't have to tell them how well I treated you. You don't have to tell them how well I treated you. Just keep it to yourself. So please, church, if you're here when I'm gone, if they start a remark section, just whisper in my family's ear and just tell them, you know, he don't want that. He wouldn't have wanted that. I've instructed everybody that has any part in my services to not let there be a remark section, because folk tend to lie. I just don't know how to put it other than that. They tend to say things about you that are not true. Not bad things, but they tend to say things about you that are just not true. They tend to want to make you different than what you really was. But see, I thank God that he already knows how I was and how I am and how I will be. And he don't need your help to tell them about me. Just lay me out. Say a few scriptures, a few verses over me. Don't have to be long. Just a few verses over me. And then call the undertakers forward. That's all I need. I don't need nothing else. And when that's over and done with, all you have to do is say, I knew Brother Carter. That's all you need to say. Don't make up stuff to say. Just let it be. But back to I am, I will be thy God. Fear not. Fear not, church. Church, as a Christian, you don't have to fear anything because you've got God on your side. Fear not, for I am your God. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. Now, what more can you ask for but strength? What more can you look for but to have a God, the great I am, with you? The great I am. We sing that song, How Great Thou Art. But do you understand it? Do you understand how much God is with you and how much He will be with you? He will be with you till the end. And even past the end, God, Jesus can go to the grave with you. Go in the grave with you if you think not. See, man can only go as far as the cemetery, the grave site. And then when they throw that dirt over you, that's it for man is concerned. He has no more help to give you at that point. They finish covering up the grave, and that's the end of man's activity with you. But Jesus is still with you. Amen. Now you think about that. And you ask yourself this question. What am I fearful of, Brother Hall? God said, fear not, for I am with thee. Amen. Christian has nothing to fear. When times get hard and things get rough on you, you don't have anything to fear. You can just let it all go and let it go away from you and let God fix it. When God fixes it, no man can unfix it. For God has the power to fix you where man can try to unfix you. You get a headache. And the man said, the doctor might tell you the reason you got this headache is because you're having some brain issues. Well, if you're having brain issues, you better ask God to fix them for you. Don't trust in mankind. Oh, it's good to go to the doctor and be able to get yourself relieved and the pain to go away. As soon as you get the pain to go away, God can bring the pain back on you. And He'll keep sending you back and forth to the doctor, but only He can fix you permanently. So don't fear not, church. Those things I told you I feared in the beginning of my message. For instance, snakes. People like to talk about them, but everybody's afraid of them. That's why when I go to the zoo, I don't go to the reptile house. Because I'm afraid of them, so why do I want to look at them? I just skip the reptile house completely. I don't even like to watch them on TV. All I'm saying is, as a Christian, you have nothing to fear. I don't have to fear them because I don't have to see them. Because God can keep them away from me. So I've said enough this morning, church. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson is willing and ready to baptize if you're willing and ready. If you've already been baptized but somewhere you walked astray, ask God to forgive you. Come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you might be restored and that you may stay restored. That part is on you. If that's your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
To Canaan land, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of man